Everything was perfect, except for the food. That was beyond mere words. Salads of 12 different types, ranging from beetroot to radish, right through many varieties of lettuce, and including fennel, dandelion, tomato, young onion, carrot, leek, corn, every sort of vegetable imaginable, cut, shredded, diced or whole. These were backed up with the cheeses, arranged in wedged patterns of red, yellow and white, studded with nuts, herbs and apple. Loaves are everywhere. Small brown cobs with seeds on top, long white batons with glazed crusts, early harvest loaves shaped like corn stooks, tea bread, nut bread, spice bread, and soft flour bread for infants. The drinks were set out in pitchers and ewers, some in open bowls with floating mint leaves, October ale, fresh milk, blackcurrant wine, strawberry cordial, nut brown beer, raspberry fizz, elderberry wine, damson juice, herb tea and cold cider. Then there were the cakes, tarts, jellies and sweets, raspberry muffins, blueberry scones, red currant jelly Abbott's cake, fruit cake, iced cake, shortbread biscuits, almond wafers, fresh cream, sweet cream, whipped cream, pouring cream, honeyed cream, custardy cream, Mrs. Church Mouse's bell tower pudding, Mrs. Bankvold's six-layer trifle, cornflowers, gatehouse gâteau, Sister Rosa's sweet meadow custard with honey-glazed pears, Brother Rufus's wild grape woodland pie with quince and hazelnut sauce, to name but a few. The rule was to start with what you liked and finish when you felt like. Nothing was stinted, and everyone was to make sure that the neighbours either side of them enjoyed everything.
Hi, Tess. Have some hot candied chestnuts.
Well, thank you, Matt. Here, try some of this almond wafer topped with pink cream. I've just invented it, and it's lovely.
Yeah, pass away that trifle. I dearly do love trifle. Oh, come on, Abbott, sir. You been eating hardly a bite. Let I help you to some of this year's salad and bread and cheese and bell tower pudding.
All together? Thank you, Formal. Most kind. Have you tried my red currant wall Abbott Alf cake?
Strike my sails, Mudalphus. That's a nice long name for a good sized cake.
Winifred commented.
Oh, it tastes handsome. Pass us the cider, matey.
My, Basil. You're not saying much.
Action, laddie buck. That's the ticket.
Try some of my woodland pie, Matthias. By the fur, is that Basil behind the huge plateful over there? Thank you, Brother Rufus. A little more nut brown beer for you. So it is. Every time his ears show over the top of that pile of food, he shoves more on it. Oh, dear. I'm sure he'll explode before the evening's out. Hi, Basil. Steady on, old lad.
Beg pardon, old mouse. Can't hear you. Must be me old war wound. Oh, no, it's a stick of celery in me ear. How did that get there?
The abbot was upstanding now. He beat upon the table with a wooden ladle.
Silence, please. Give order and make way for Friar Hugo and the fish.
The carp was on a low, wide trolley. Hugo would allow none to help. Proudly, he pulled and tugged until he drew it up to the table. Fanning himself with the tail-held dock-leaf, he regained his breath.
Abbot, the fish prayer, if you please.
The eating stopped. All sat in reverent silence, as Mordalphus spread his paws over the carp and intoned.
Fur and whisker, tooth and claw, all who enter by our door, nuts and herbs, leaves and fruits, berries, tubers, plants and roots, silver fish whose life we take only for a meal to make.
There was a loud and heartfelt
Amen
from all. The abbot gave the proceedings over to Hugo, and the fat little friar cleared his throat.
My friends, this year I have created for you a dish known as Carp Capital. You will observe that I marinated my fish in a mixture of cider and dandelion extract. It has been grilled on a turning spit, skinned and laid in a slow-cooking mixture of cream and mushrooms with hot root pepper, then garnished with flaked almond, mint leaves, and chopped green.
Absolutely spiffing! I say, Hugo, you old pan walloper, do you need a good, steady, poor fellow to help you to serve the old trout? What?
Fry Hugo never blinked an eyelid, but there were titters and smothered giggles from every corner of Basil's offer. Hugo addressed the abbot.
Lord Abbot, before I serve you the first portion to taste, can I suggest jugged hare for our next banquet?
Basil's ears stood straight up with indignation.
I say, steady in the ranks there. I wouldn't be able to have any, don't you know?
Amid gales of unrestrained laughter, Abbot Mordalfus dug his fork into the delicious dish. A whisker's breadth away from his lips, he stopped the loaded fork and said,
Friar Hugo, my most old and valued chef, I pronounce this dish totally excellent, merely by the sight and aroma, knowing that when I actually taste it, I will be lost for words.
A cheer went up at the abbot's gallant pronouncements. Hugo fanned himself furiously with pleasure at the compliments. Basil Staghair actually ate four portions, claiming that he had an otter ancestor somewhere in his family tree. Then the toasting started, led by Ambrose Spike.
I would like to toast all Redwall abbots past, and in particular, good old Mordalfus, our present abbot.
Yeah. Good old Mordalfus.
I would like to toast Matthias the Warrior, our champion.
Called out Brother Rufus.
Good egg, I'll second that, old bean.
I would like to toast our young ones, the hope of future seasons to come.
Here, Cornflower, well toasted.
As a retired regimental buffer, I'd like to toast anything on toast. Cheese, mushrooms, what have you.
Oh, all right, Basil. Here's to tomatoes on toast.
I toast Mr. Hare and Mr. Spike.
Sit down, baby Rollo, and drink your milk.
Here's to the otters and the squirrels.
Bravo! Here's to the sparrows and the moles.
To Redwall Abbey.
To Mossflower Woods.
The toast flew fast and thick. Laughter, song, good food, sufficient drink, and friendly company were making it a feast to remember. Then Slagar the Cruel knocked upon the door of Redwall Abbey.